John Harbaugh stepped in as the head coach of the New York Giants, tore down the old coaching staff, and rebuilt it from the ground up. And now, the Giants have officially finalized their coaching staff for the 2026 offseason, and it features a lot of experience. Some great coaches who have either been former head coaches, assistant head coaches, top-level coordinators in the past, a lot of experience on the sideline for the New York Giants in 2026. One of the reasons why we wanted John Harbaugh so badly as the head coach of the Giants was because we knew he could build a world-class coaching staff. The Giants gave him a massive budget to build out this staff, and he went ahead and he got to work and brought in some really great coaches to fill it out on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and on special teams. And additionally, even though he gutted the last coaching staff, got rid of nearly everybody, there was one key holdover on the defensive side of the ball, that being Charlie Bullen. Charlie Bullen was the interim defensive coordinator for the final 7 weeks of the Giants' 2025 season. After the firing of Shane Bowen, Bullen took over, and the Giants' defense was noticeably better with Charlie Bullen, the outside linebackers coach. He has been retained by the New York Giants, the only coach from the previous staff to be retained. He is going to be working as the run defense coordinator, run game coordinator on the defensive side of the ball, and as, of course, the outside linebackers coach as he was in the past. So Charlie Bullen, the players advocated to bring him back. He got a great vote of confidence from Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, and the rest of the outside linebackers. And now he's officially back for 2026, taking a contract extension and receiving a promotion. So, exciting stuff here. And now it's time to break it all down. What does it mean? And what does this Giants 2026 coaching staff officially look like? I'm Anthony Rivardo. This is Fireside Giants. And strap in, boys. We got a fun one today. Reacted to the entire 2026 coaching staff. Let's kick it off here and discuss the three coordinators. So, the Giants, of course, have offensive coordinator Matt Nagy. And we've discussed Matt Nagy quite a bit on the channel now. But let me give you guys some more of my thoughts as I kind of decompress here, looking at the entire scope of the staff. I think that Matt Nagy has a chance to really prove the doubters wrong here with the New York Giants. So Nagy, of course, is a prolific offensive coordinator in this game. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion as an OC. He's been a head coach before. So you're not going to find many OCs that are more experienced than Matt Nagy, that have had more success than Matt Nagy. But as a head coach, well, he didn't have a lot of success. And as an offensive coordinator with the Chiefs, he didn't call plays. And when he did join the Kansas City Chiefs most recently over the last couple of seasons, the Chiefs' offense was noticeably worse than it was when Eric Bieniemy was the offensive coordinator. So a lot of fans immediately said, hey, I'm not sure about this one. This isn't a very exciting hire. The reason why Matt Nagy's offense didn't find a ton of success in Chicago is because they didn't have a good enough running game. He actually did a pretty decent job with the lackluster quarterback talent that they had over in Chicago. If you guys remember, he did take Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs. That's quite a feat, if we're being completely honest. And their passing game, again, was never the big problem on offense over there in Chicago. It was the run game. They couldn't run the ball. Their play calling wasn't the best, and that is a fault of Nagy. But a lot of that was tied to him not being able to scheme together a consistent rushing attack. He would run the ball on first down, second down, and now all of a sudden you're in third and long and Trubisky has to throw. That's a recipe for disaster. So what the Giants did was said, okay, historically, he's done a good job calling the passing game. He's got no problems there. He's noted as a key mentor for Patrick Mahomes, and he's had a lot of success helping develop Mahomes over in Kansas City early in his career in 2017. Also, Alex Smith, he got a lot out of Alex Smith in 2017 and was cited as being one of those key mentors and developers. And in most recent seasons, Mahomes has given him a lot of praise. So the passing game, check. Matt Nagy can do that. But the running game is the issue. Enter Greg Roman. That's where the Giants bring in a senior offensive assistant who's effectively going to serve as the run game coordinator. Now, he wasn't given that title. Greg Roman wasn't. But he got senior offensive assistant because that's arguably a higher title than run game coordinator, a senior assistant. So he's going to step in and basically work collaboratively here with Matt Nagy. Nagy's going to have the full scope of the offense. He's going to call the plays and he's going to be the primary architect. But he's going to rely heavily on Greg Roman to call the running game, or at least to come up with the game plan on the running side of things. Because Greg Roman historically Well, he's had some of the best rushing attacks in NFL history when he's been an offensive coordinator. Whether you're talking about years and years ago when he was with the San Francisco 49ers, or most recently with the Baltimore Ravens, when the Ravens put up more rushing yards in a single season than any team in NFL history. Greg Roman has always found tremendous success in that regard. But when Greg Roman was an offensive coordinator, he couldn't call a passing game. So you've got Nagy over here who can't call a running game, and you've got Roman over here who can't call a passing game. Meanwhile, Nagy calls a good passing game, Roman a good running game, merge them together. That is your offensive brain trust for the New York Giants in 2026 from a play calling standpoint. And then how about enhancing the passing game further with a guy who helped develop Joe Burrow? That being, enter Brian Callahan, the quarterback's coach / passing game coordinator. Brian Callahan is a guy who's gotten a lot of criticism in recent years because over the last 2 years, he sucked as a head coach of the Tennessee Titans. In my opinion, he's just not a head coach, and I don't know when the next time he gets that shot at being one will be, but I suspect it won't be for a while because I don't think that he had the ability to manage an entire group. But if you're talking about working closely with a specific group of players, with one or two guys and just teaching, if you're talking about a guy who could step into a room and recognize where a player needs help and how to rework his mechanics to make him a better player, then you're talking about Brian Callahan. Go back and read what Joe Burrow has had to say about Brian Callahan. He went as far as to say that he would not be the player that he is today if not for Brian Callahan and the mentorship and development that Callahan had and the effect that he had on Joe Burrow during his early seasons in Cincinnati. Callahan stuck around in Cincinnati as their offensive coordinator for 5 years. He didn't call plays when he was there, similar to, you know, we talk about Matt Nagy here with the Kansas City Chiefs, but he did call plays with the Tennessee Titans, didn't do a great job, but he did have a lot of success prior to his time in Tennessee developing quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford is somebody that he worked with. Matthew Stafford had his best quarterback rating of his career at that point. He's beaten it now, but at that point when Brian Callahan was in Detroit. Then he went over to the Las Vegas Raiders, Oakland Raiders at the time. Derek Carr threw for more passing yards in a single season than he ever had when Brian Callahan was there. Then he goes over to Cincinnati. Rookie Joe Burrow steps in during his second season in Cincinnati, Callahan's second season, that is. He takes him, he brings him under his wing, and he teaches him. If you read about Brian Callahan, the word that comes up so frequently is teacher. He is a teacher. He's passionate about his job. He loves the game of football. He grew up in the game of football, of course, with Bill Callahan, his father, legendary offensive line coach. The guy loves, lives, and breathes football, and he teaches football. He's not a coach who's a strategist, per se, who can draw it up on the X's and O's and call the best plays and have the best situational awareness. In fact, those are all the things he's not so great at. But what he is good at is teaching players how to get better, refining their mechanics, fixing their fundamentals, and making sure that they are the sound player that they need to be to find success. That's what he's going to do for Jackson Dart. So yes, he's going to be the passing game coordinator, and those X's and O's are going to come into play, and he's going to collaborate with Matt Nagy and Greg Roman, and he's going to help create this offense that the Giants are trying to put together. And hey, he actually does have some good passing concepts. He didn't do well overall as a coach or as a coordinator, really calling the plays. But what he did do well when he was in Tennessee was implementing certain collegiate passing concepts, different RPOs, short, quick screens, and stuff like that. That he did well in Tennessee. It was the other stuff, again, that he didn't do so great. So now you're taking Matt Nagy and Brian Callahan and having them combine together to come up with this passing attack for Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart loves play action. That's where Greg Roman comes in. He loves quick passing, West Coast offense. That's where Matt Nagy comes in. But he also thrived in an RPO-heavy offensive scheme in Ole Miss that also created a ton of deep shots with spread of vertical concepts. That's where Brian Callahan comes into play. So you really found, the Giants really found, John Harbaugh really found a way to create such a collaborative offense and take bits and pieces, pull the best traits out of each of these coaches to combine together Voltron style and make this offensive brain trust. Now you've got this council of coaches here, this council of kings here to coordinate the offense all together, pulling on each of their strengths and relying on each of these coaches to offset each other's weaknesses, essentially. I think it's really smart. I think it's got potential to be a very high ceiling offense as a result of this. And I think collaboration and communication is key. And if John Harbaugh feels like he got some guys that can really collaborate and communicate together, there is no doubt in my mind that all three of these individuals who are architecting this offense have the talent in their individual respective lanes. Run game, Roman. Passing game, Callahan. And quarterback development, Callahan. And overall passing game and offense, Matt Nagy. I really like this brain trust that they've put together. And again, I just think that it's a great way to offset weaknesses, to maximize strengths, make sure that you're not fitting square pegs in the round holes, and just having everybody do what they're best at. That's how you get the best out of a football player or a football coach. You have them do what they're best at doing. So I really like this offensive staff, guys. That's my take on the three coordinators of the offense. But let me go ahead and dive into the rest of the offensive coaching staff before we flip over to the defense. So in addition to everything I just mentioned, the connective tissue for all three of those guys, Nagy, Callahan, and Roman, it's the offensive line. The offensive line needs to work for all three of those different guys in every single phase of this offense. Enter Mike Bloomgren. Mike Bloomgren is an experienced offensive line coach. This past season, I mean, he dealt with a historic run of injuries on that Cleveland Browns offensive line. That was super unfortunate. And I don't think that we saw the best version of a Mike Bloomgren offensive line this past year as a result of all of those ridiculous injuries. However, in the past, he has put together some really impressive offensive lines, and he has prior head coaching experience at the collegiate level. So Mike Bloomgren, also a Callahan disciple, and he knows what he's doing when he's talking offensive line. Like, I just really think that this is a guy who has experience, and he's proven it before, and he's put together some really impressive units. So the loss of Carmen Brasillo sucks. I think Carmen Brasillo was a really good coach. But Brasillo was always going to follow Brian Daboll. He was loyal to Brian Daboll. And so the Giants needed to find somebody with experience and with a proven track record to replace him. And I think they found that with Mike Bloomgren. But Mike Bloomgren is an older guy. He's also a guy who, I said, again, has prior collegiate head coaching experience. So this could be a one-and-done potential hire. This could be a guy who steps in as the O-line coach this year and then maybe wants to leave. That's why the Giants also hired assistant offensive line coach Grant Newsom, who I think is really interesting. He's coming from Michigan. He's been around some really good programs. He's worked under some really good coaches. And I think that he's a bit of a younger but still experienced coach that could potentially take over as the O-line coach if Bloomgren leaves for a better job next year. Now, another name that I want to mention on this coaching staff that I really like is Chad Hall. Chad Hall is the wide receivers coach for the Giants. Earlier, I said that the Giants only retained one coach on their staff. I meant on their defensive staff. They actually have two guys that they retained on the offensive side of the ball, one of them being Chad Hall. Last season, Chad Hall was the assistant quarterback's coach for the New York Giants. He was essentially coaching out of position. Prior to being the assistant quarterback's coach with the New York Giants, he was the wide receivers coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and prior to that, the wide receivers coach for the Buffalo Bills. He's always been a wide receivers coach, and he's been a damn good one at that. When he was with the Bills, they brought in Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs hit another level in his career with the Buffalo Bills. He was really good with the Vikings. He got so much better as soon as he got to Buffalo. Additionally, guys like Gabe Davis haven't been the same since Chad Hall left the Buffalo Bills. And Chad Hall then went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Granted, Gabe Davis did follow him there, and he wasn't that good there, so let's just wash that one. But Brian Thomas Jr. with Chad Hall was pretty special in his first season. Then Chad Hall leaves. Brian Thomas Jr. doesn't look as good, so I'm just making connections here. But then, again, Chad Hall, assistant quarterbacks coach, coaching out of position, which just goes to show you how dysfunctional the New York Giants have been over the years, now returning to wide receivers coach, and I'm really excited about that. I think that he is a great wide receivers coach. He is also a coach that has gotten a lot of respect around the league for the specific players that he's been around and developed. Diggs, Brian Thomas Jr., and other players involved there. Chad Hall is a name that I really like and I don't want you guys to sleep on. I could see the Giants having a late round wide receiver or mid round wide receiver find a lot of early success in his career. And we will give the credit to the developer at the wide receiver spot being Chad Hall, because he is a great developer. So Really like that and excited for Chad Hall to be taking the reins here with the wide receivers. So the other holdover on the offensive side of the ball for the Giants coaching staff is Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly was the tight ends coach last year. He is the tight ends coach last year. He is the tight ends coach once again this year. Tim Kelly also extremely experienced. He was the interim offensive coordinator last year for the Giants after Mike Kafka took over as the head coach because Tim Kelly joined the Giants staff with prior offensive coordinator experience. I believe he was with the Texans, and I believe he was with the Titans as well many years ago. So he's had two different stints as an OC, but then he's been working on this staff as a tight ends coach and then briefly as an interim OC. And I really like Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly's widely respected in the NFL. He's going to get another OC job again at some point in his career, I think. And that's because he is a really good coach. And I do think that the Giants tight ends have developed quite well underneath Tim Kelly. If you guys think about how advanced Thomas Fedoni looked in the preseason, he got off to a really hot start. He didn't play much in the regular season, but that stood out to me. He looked ready, like he had been preparing for a while, and he was pretty much just getting thrown out there, had some injuries as well. Fedoni looked ready to go as soon as the preseason rolled around, so I'll give Tim Kelly credit for that. And I also think Daniel Bellinger developed well, and I think that Theo Johnson, I know a lot of people rag on Theo Johnson for having some drops, but there are other aspects of his game where he's made a lot of progress. He's got much better spatial awareness now than he did in his rookie season, sitting down in those pockets in those zones and reading the field like a quarterback while running routes. Theo Johnson's gotten a lot better at that, and he also runs better routes, and he's improved as a blocker. So I think Tim Kelly's actually done a pretty good job with the tight ends, and I'm excited to have him back on the staff. Now, the last name that we really want to dive into here on the offensive side of the ball is Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart is the running backs coach now for the New York Giants. He was the running backs coach over with the Baltimore Ravens, following along with John Harbaugh here. And he worked closely with Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, of course, a couple seasons ago had one of the best running back seasons of all time with the Baltimore Ravens. Willie Taggart definitely played a role in that. But Willie Taggart, again, experience. He's been a head coach at the collegiate level twice, Oregon and FSU. So you're talking about a wealth of experience on this offensive coaching staff. And Willie Taggart is one of the most respected running backs coaches in the entire NFL. He's even been a run game coordinator at some point. So expect him to have a voice and work closely and collaboratively with Greg Roman and the rest of the guys at the top of this coaching staff. Willie Taggart, a big name on the staff that the Giants low-key stole and plucked off of the Ravens staff to rejoin John Harbaugh here with the Giants. So I love this coaching staff, guys, on the offensive side of the ball. I know that it's a little bit polarizing. Some people don't like the Blumgren hire. Some people don't like the Callahan hire. Some people really don't like the Matt Nagy hire. I think when you put it all together, you get a really interesting and high potential offensive coaching staff. And a quick shout out to some of the other guys on the staff. Noah Riley is a football analyst slash quality control coach on the offensive side of the ball. Adam Schrack and Mike Snyder are both offensive quality control coaches as well. So shout out to those guys rounding out the offensive coaching staff there. There's everybody on the offense. And again, really excited about the potential of this offense and looking forward to seeing what they're able to achieve this season as they try to develop this young nucleus of talent, including Dart, Scataboo, Neighbors, and Tracy, and everybody else, Theo Johnson, all these other youthful guys. A lot of potential with this offense. Now, let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Like I said, Charlie Bolin is the name that I want to kind of point to first. I know Denard Wilson is a defensive coordinator, but I want to talk about Charlie Bolin because Charlie Bolin is one of the most respected players in the New York Giants locker room right now. He was the outside linebackers coach this past season, and the outside linebackers on this defense were pretty much the only unit that consistently performed well. Brian Burns went for a career-high 16 and a half sacks. Abdul Carter had at least a half sack in each of the final four games of the season. He also had that explosive game against Washington, but really just looked like a man with his hair on fire in those final games of the season. Really impressed with what Abdul Carter did, and really impressed with the way that he developed once Charlie Bolin took over as the interim defensive coordinator. Now he's going to be the run game coordinator, and if you actually look at the statistics, the Giants' average rushing yards allowed per game dropped by about 40 yards per game once Bolin took over as the interim defensive coordinator last season. So he did a really good job slowing down the run. Not necessarily slowing down the run. The Giants' run defense was never good last season at any point. but he kind of slowed the bleeding, let's put it that way, and improved that. So now he's going to be the run game coordinator. That's his promotion and new title. He's also the outside linebackers coach still. And I'll tell you guys, per source, that Charlie Bolin got a very strong recommendation and very strong advocation from Brian Burns to John Harbaugh. So the Giants absolutely wanted to retain him. The players really wanted him back, and the players absolutely love Charlie Bolin. So I think this is a really great idea for the Giants to promote him in this way. One of the most respected players or coaches in the locker room. And I think Charlie Bolin is kind of a star in the making. He turned down defensive coordinator jobs to take this promotion with the Giants. He's going to get a DC job at some point. It's not going to be this year, but it very well could be next year. So let's enjoy Charlie Bolin while we have him. Now, let's go to the defense coordinator since we skipped over him. That's Denard Wilson. Denard Wilson, over the last 2 years in Tennessee, ran a defensive scheme that is very different from the one that the Giants were running over the last 2 years. Over the last 2 years under Shane Bowen, the Giants ran a lot of man coverage, a ton of it. League-high usage rates sometimes in man coverage. Quite the opposite with Denard Wilson. Wilson runs a lot of zone coverage. And he runs a lot of disguised zone coverages, runs a lot of cover three, but also a ton of cover four relative to the rest of the league. So really protecting the deep portions of the field in those coverages, but also, again, really disguising those coverages and confusing quarterbacks. He got a lot out of all secondary players over in Tennessee, just like he did when he was in Baltimore and pretty much everywhere else he's been. Denard Wilson is a secondary specialist. And that's why Charlie Bolin is the run game coordinator. Because where Denard Wilson has admittedly not been the best is in the front seven. But the Giants brought in some really good coaches in the front seven to develop that portion of the defense while Denard Wilson calls the plays, of course, with his great scheme, but also because he is a specialist in the secondary. So I really want to see this defensive secondary develop. I want to see them invest at corner or safety. Shout out Caleb Downs. I hope you're a New York Giant, buddy. We'll see, but I do think the Giants are going to invest in cornerbacks and secondary pieces in free agency, especially. So Denard Wilson, the other big selling point on his defense, press coverage. So it's a lot of zone, but it's a lot of press. It's the complete opposite of what the Giants were running this past season. They ran a ton of man coverage, and it was pretty much always off man coverage. They weren't pressing. There was lining up 8 yards off the line of scrimmage, giving up those quick, easy passes. No more of that. No more quick, easy passes. It's going to be press coverage, giving those outside linebackers, shout out to Charlie Bolin, more time to get after the quarterback. And this is honestly my ideal defensive scheme. I prefer a scheme that's very zone heavy, it's very aggressive, and presses a lot. That's how you get the most out of your pass rushers. So Denard Wilson, he's the guy for the job, and I'm really excited about him taking over as the DC. But over on the rest of this coaching staff, I'll give you guys the names of the other assistant coaches. I haven't dived too deep into each and every one of them just yet, but I'm going to do that in the coming days and weeks. And of course, once we find kind of key info and nuggets, we'll share them on the show, but I'm just going to list the guys for you here. Donald DeAlessio is the defensive passing game coordinator, so that's obviously a pretty big title. I'm going to do a little bit more research on him, and then in a follow-up episode, discuss the defensive coaching staff at large and really do a breakdown of it. Assistant linebackers coach Matt Pease. Yeah, it's spelled P-E-E-S. Matt Pease, assistant linebackers coach. Frank Bush, inside linebackers coach. Dennis Johnson is the D-line coach, replacing Andre Patterson. That's a pretty big deal. Giants fans, I know you really liked Andre Patterson, but Dennis Johnson had a connection to John Harbaugh, and he's joining the staff. Assistant D-line coach Matt Robinson. Defensive quality control coach Brendan Clark. Defensive backs coach Addison Lynch. He is replacing Marquand Manuel, who just joined the Giants this past season. He is one and done as the DB's coach and passing game coordinator. And last but definitely not least, assistant to the head coach slash defensive assistant, Megan Rosberg. So that's the whole Giants defensive coaching staff. But I do want to touch on special teams. I don't want to forget the third phase of the game. If you guys watched the playoffs at all, if you watched the Seattle Seahawks at all, you saw that special teams, just as important as the other two phases of the game. Special teams won the Seahawks a Super Bowl, arguably. Won them two playoff games and then a Super Bowl. Special teams played a major role. So that's where we will talk about special teams coordinator, Chris Horton. And not only is he a special teams coordinator, he is the assistant head coach, which is a pretty big deal. John Harbaugh usually does have an assistant head coach. It's kind of, hey, this is the coach who's worked with me the longest, worked with me the closest, and who I respect the most. I'm going to give him this extra special title. He's done that this time around for Chris Horton. Chris Horton spent 12 consecutive seasons on John Harbaugh's staff in Baltimore. The last seven of those seasons, he was the special teams coordinator over there. And according to Football Outsiders' annual special teams DVOA ratings, which is a metric for analyzing each play against NFL averages based on special variables, or several variables rather, Baltimore posted 7 top 5 marks and 6 top 3 marks with 3 number 1 finishes since 2015 when Horton joined the special teams staff. So pretty much every single year that Chris Horton was working on that special teams, they had among the best, top 5, top 6, top 3, top 1, whatever. They were among the best special teams units in the NFL every season that Chris Horton was there. You can make the case that on paper, statistically, Chris Horton might be the best special teams coordinator in all of football. Now, I know Ravens fans, whenever I say that on Twitter, they get really angry at me and they say, oh, you must not have watched a lot of Ravens games. Guys, I did watch a lot of Ravens games. I do watch a lot of Ravens games. My best friend, Cameron, he lives in London. Well, he doesn't live in London, but he lives in England. But he's a Ravens fan, die hard, and he doesn't get to watch a lot of Ravens games over in England. So I watch them for him. They have a great special teams unit. There were some mistakes that were made over the past few seasons. As a result, Horton's gone, Harbaugh's gone. The Ravens have rebuilt with a new coaching staff, and granted, it's a great one. But Chris Horton is still a great coach. Things just got stale over there in Baltimore, and now Ravens fans are really upset and angry and spiteful towards all of these guys who have left the staff, and it's not deserved. It was a really good unit. There was a lot of talent, sure, but they were also very well coached. So I like Chris Horton a lot. I think he's a really good special teams coach, and he's an assistant head coach. So this is the guy that I think John Harbaugh expects to leave the staff at some point in the next few years for a head coaching job. So keep an eye on Chris Horton and keep an eye on the Giants special teams unit, because they're bringing over Horton, who's widely regarded as one of the best coordinators in football in that facet of the game. So also expect them to bring over some really talented players on special teams. Keep an eye on Jordan Stout, the punter that was over in Baltimore the past couple of years and was just named a first-team All-Pro. So, really like Chris Horton. Really like this whole Giants coaching staff. And since I named all of the other coaches, I will also give a shout-out to TJ Weist, the assistant special teams coach. But that's the whole coaching staff, guys. That was a lot of words, a lot of talking. But let me just give you my final thoughts on this. Listen, I think that John Harbaugh did what he set out to do. He achieved what he has set out to accomplish. He brought in an ultra-experienced coaching staff that can guide a young nucleus of talent on the Giants roster. They have a very young roster. They have some very promising young talent. You do not, in my opinion, and clearly a shared opinion of John Harbaugh, you do not maximize young talent by pairing them with young, inexperienced coaches. I'm sorry, but it just doesn't work that way. You need experience. You need teachers of the game of football. You need guys who have been there and who have done it, who have won big-time games, who have coached big-time players, who have learned from big-time players how to coach other players. Those are the guys like Callahan. Callahan coached in a Super Bowl, guys. He lost that Super Bowl, but he did coach in a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Matt Nagy has won 2 Super Bowls. And you've got Denard Wilson has also coached some really big games in the past with the Baltimore Ravens. And Chris Horton, of course, has coached big games. John Harbaugh himself has won a Super Bowl and holds the record for the most road wins as a head coach in postseason NFL history. Greg Roman has coached some big games with the Ravens as well, and at the collegiate level. So that's kind of the overarching theme. Experience, winning big games, competing in big games, coaching big players, and being able to teach. This is a coaching staff that I think is going to teach particularly well. Going to take these young guys and show them, hey, you're really good, but you need to make this tweak, and here's how I'm going to help you make that tweak, and now you're going to be even better. Jackson Dart, he needs to get better, guys. I know we're really excited about him. He's very promising. Nobody's more excited about him than me. You all know, in January, I started saying he could be the steal of the draft. Well, that's 4 months before he was drafted by the Giants. I was saying he could be the steal of the draft. I was saying I would love for him to be on the Giants, and I love the way that he played at Ole Miss, and I think he's a great prospect. I said that in January. In April, I still felt that way when the Giants drafted him. I feel that way more intensely after watching him as a rookie. But all that being said, he's got to get better. His footwork needs to improve. His vision needs to improve. His decision-making at times in terms of when to run and when not to, and when to stand in the pocket, when not to, that needs to improve. His footwork, especially, I think I already said it, but it really does need to improve his footwork because his deep passing accuracy really needs to improve. And the deep passing accuracy won't improve unless he fixes his base, his footwork, and his fundamentals. But that's why the Giants have experience. John Harbaugh, he oversaw the mechanical rework and retooling of Lamar Jackson. So did senior offensive assistant Greg Roman. He helped retool Lamar Jackson's passing mechanics to make him the elite superstar MVP that he is. Callahan did that for Joe Burrow, helped him improve his mechanics and made him into an MVP, helped make him into an MVP over in Cincinnati. So I just think when you really look at the staff and the experience that they have, it's exactly what this New York Giants roster desperately needed. Experience. I thought last year there really was talent on this team. Burns had a career year. Abdul Carter looked like a beast down the stretch. Cordell Fly had a career year. Wandale Robinson, career year. Cam Scadaboo looked like a star before he got hurt. Malik Nabers was a star before he got hurt. Jackson Dart looked like a star throughout the season at different times, or at least a star in the making. There was talent. It didn't produce enough wins, but they were close in a lot of those games. And those losses, that's the difference between a good, experienced coaching staff that's been there and won close games before, and a coaching staff that hasn't won close games before and that isn't experienced and doesn't know how to handle the pressure of the moment. That was the Giants coaching staff of old. Enter the Giants coaching staff of new, which is really a coaching staff of old guys, experienced guys. But that's what the New York Giants need. So guys, as you can tell, I'm feeling pretty positive about the Giants coaching staff. Now, I could be more critical about it. Honestly, it's not perfect. I definitely have my concerns with Nagy, with Callahan, with Roman, with the whole offensive side of the ball. I even have my concerns with Denard Wilson. But I'm not focusing on the negatives in this episode. There's a whole offseason ahead of us, and we will talk about our potential concerns with the team. But I wanted to talk positively today and just give you guys my optimistic outlook on this team, because I am more optimistic about the New York Giants than I have been probably any offseason that I've been covering this team here on Fireside Giants. Why? Well, they have John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh takes my pessimism away, and he takes me out of the realm of cautiously optimistic, and he puts me firmly into the realm of optimistic, because he's one of the best head coaches in all of football, collegiate level, NFL level, whatever. He's one of the best of all time. He's got a Hall of Fame resume, you could argue. So I love John Harbaugh, and I am optimistic about this Giants team. I think that they will win more games this season than they did last year. Not that that's a high bar to clear, but I do think this team is going to be a lot better. And I wanted to be optimistic is essentially what I'm trying to say. I didn't want to be pessimistic in any way. I know some of you don't like some of these hires. And again, we'll get into it. We will discuss the concerns. We will go on the side of pessimistic at some point this offseason. But right now, it's too early for that. I'm optimistic and I'm looking forward to these next few weeks as we get into the NFL scouting combine, free agency, and then the NFL draft is right around the corner. So it's going to be a really fun offseason here on Fireside Giants. We're going to have daily uploads for you like we always do. And you guys can see it. We have improved our content and we are going to continue to improve all the way through this offseason to give you the best New York Giants content on YouTube and Spotify and Apple if you're listening there. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, make sure to leave us a 5-star review and go ahead and follow us on all our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one and let's go New York Giants.